episode 142.2. My name is Dave Hunt, joined by Michael Swick.
Usually I'm the one that points out the things that technically people listening to it won't know was an issue, but yes, this is our second take at episode 142 after Dave's computer decided after a vacation it needed a vacation.
I recorded since vacation.
Didn't want to work. No, but you did a weekend thing, like a road trip, and I guess your computer wasn't invited, so it decided to break yesterday.
Yeah, I don't really know what it was, or something updated. I don't necessarily take as good of care of the streaming PC as I probably should. And I tend to wait on updates, which eventually causes problems because they force themselves on me. And for whatever
Wait till Windows 11 decides to just take over and break everything you own.
And for whatever reason, my mixer. So I like, you know, again, full disclosure, I have two PCs. I have my gaming PC and my streaming PC. The gaming PC does 100% of the Discord sound, and you know all that stuff. And then it runs through an audio cable from my mixer into the streaming PC for OBS and for what you guys see if you're watching us on Twitch or anything like that. So it gives me better control of everything. But for whatever reason, like, the cable, the audio in, audio out, whatever you call it, that goes into my streaming PC just wasn't registering. There was, like, we started streaming and there was no sound. And apparently something was unclicked in OBS, because typically I just walk away from it. Angela tends to deal with a little bit more of the interworkings of, hey, I did ABC and it's not working, and I get agitated. So I walk away from it. And she was able to fix it within, like, 10 minutes last night. But by that point in time, it was too late. So...
Yeah, because it was about like 15, 20 minutes of Dave like clicking around like a caveman, just being like, why no work? When in reality, it should have been like Angela.
I can do like the initial setup. Like, I've done a lot of the initial setup.
But if anything goes off the course, that's it
and
for
I'm,
you.
I'm a very much see picture, do picture person, like step one, step two, step three, step four. And if they don't work, and I double check step one, step two, step three, step four, and it still doesn't work, I'm like, all right, I'm done.
So, yeah, if Angela can fix it in 15 minutes, you're probably that close to just going to Best Buy and be like, all right, let me just get one of these pre-built things, even though I shouldn't do it right now.
So, but anyway, so it was a little delayed. We hoped that we'd get some additional gaming news, but however, we didn't. But let's just get a couple things out of the way real quick. Obviously, we are Digital Days Gaming. We are a weekly podcast that posts every Thursday on podcast services. Typically, we stream on Tuesdays, Mondays or Tuesdays. Today's Wednesday. But typically, we stream a weekday night at twitch.tv/Digital Days Gaming. And you can subscribe to us there if you have Twitch Prime or Prime Gaming, and as well as if you just want to pay for the subscription, that's your choice. It's always helpful. And sharing the show on podcast services, reviewing it, sharing it on Twitter, sharing it on Facebook, any of those things, reviewing on Spotify, that all helps. It is August of 2022, and we do not have a review for the year of 2022 on the podcast services that I can see. There are lots and lots of reviews. You guys have all been fantastic with that, but nobody has reviewed us in almost like 8 months.
No, someone reviewed us a couple weeks ago, actually.
Oh, well, that doesn't show up on the podcast apps that I have.
It might have been one of our UK listeners, because remember, the Apple separates all those, but we did get a review a couple weeks ago. I thought I forwarded that to you, but I've been busy.
It's all good. So, all right. And with that stuff out of the way, all the other links to all of our cool stuff is in the show notes. Please check that out. As well as you can follow us on Twitter at Digital Days Pod, and we're going to jump right into the news.
Yeah, we got a couple stories that are kind of just a little bit of a like follow-up to some things. So Square Enix had their financial call. We're in that season where people are giving all their quarterly calls. So Square Enix basically said that they sold their Western studios to avoid hurting their Japanese game studios. They blamed the rising costs of Western games. That the price of those to make those games was growing larger than the return on profit would have been, or return on investment. So that's why they sold Crystal Dynamics and Eidos, because they were worried it was going to potentially, like, cannibalize might be too harsh a language, but they were worried that the amount of money they would have to put into their Western studios would hurt their other studios that don't require as much money. I kind of call just a little bit of bullshit on that, because I think when it comes to like Crystal Dynamics, it is mostly just they got a license for an idea and they just didn't give it to the right studio. Mm-hmm. which I think we both can agree on that with Crystal Dynamics, of like, if they were going to do a single player Avengers game, they would have knocked it out of the ballpark. But that's not the task they were given.
That's what we thought it was going to be, the Avengers Project. Yeah. We didn't expect it to be a games as a service. It was going to tell, you know, like initially it was going to tell a unique, you know, a new, I don't know what the right term is, but a non-known Marvel character story, which it did. You know, and it, now it's just, it, they went the games as a service route when that, when those were hot, and by the time they got it out, it wasn't hot.
Yep. There's a good story in the Avengers game.
Yeah, a great story.
It's just wasn't the focus, and it just kind of like backfired on them because of that. I don't know what their excuse is for Eidos. Eidos, I would assume
Eidos the is Guardians the Deus of the Galaxy, people, right?
Deus Ex and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Deus Ex has always been successful.
Yeah, it's always been successful. Guardians didn't sell that well, but it's hard to like quantify those numbers when it's Square Enix, because they'll sell millions of copies and be like, that wasn't enough. But then, you know, I think Final Fantasy VII Remake only sold like 7 million copies, and they were like, this was a smashing success. And it's just like, what? Like,
yeah, I think it's just, I mean, if you go all the way back to, like, if you've ever listened to or read, like, the Console Wars book about Sega versus Nintendo, and especially the inner workings of Sega, and I don't, the guy's name escapes me, who left, like, the toy company to run Sega. And it was constant battle between the U.S. and Japan. Constant battle about prices and marketing and what Sonic was going to look like and how they did things. And it just seems like my perception, 100% my perception, is that Square is like, I'm tired of dealing with these American studios. Just sell them.
Yeah, it seemed like it was...
North American studios, sorry.
Yeah, it seemed like it was like a thing that they wanted to buy into the Western market. And then once they had it, they're just like, yeah, this isn't our jam. Like, this was not what they wanted to do in the long run. A little bit more out of that, which is kind of interesting, is Square Enix said they're looking to sell stakes in individual studios. So basically they said that they will let companies buy into individual studios, not for a controlling share, but for partial shares. And they're also reiterating that they're looking to expand and acquire more studios. But I think it's interesting, the idea that like they're interested in having another company like take a partnership of one of their studios. I'm guessing, this is just speculation, they realized how much money they made when they rented Crystal Dynamics to Microsoft and were like, oh, there's money in this to where we don't have to take the financial costs,
really,
but we can then borrow
the money
talent.
Like, does Sony want somebody? Like, I guess that my point is, like, as an example, if Sony wants a studio from that's under Square Enix's umbrella, Sony would just buy Square.
Yeah, the way I see it is they're allowing companies to just kind of get their feet wet. I think this is probably perfect for, like, maybe, like, a Tencent.
Yeah.
We'll talk about later.
NetEase.
Companies like that just want to be in the market as much as possible. Though, if we're talking about, like, a Sony, like, I could see Square being like, hey, we're remastering a lot of these old RPGs on the Switch and are really successful. If you buy into the studio that's doing that from us, we can go back into your library and do some, like, remasters of some of your
Sony, games.
If I'm
Sony, I'm like, why don't we just pay you to do these three games and call it a day and not buy any of your studio?
It starts the conversation now. So, yeah. Like, it could be an option of just like, hey, we have a studio that they only exist to remake these games.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to use the talent to remake games, or we'll just shutter them later anyways? You know, so they're like keeping the door open to have those discussions. Because there had been a lot of money that went to them temporarily for the Crystal Dynamics deal, where they basically were like, hey, we're going to borrow Crystal Dynamics off to someone else, and we don't have to worry about them financially for however long it takes, because Microsoft's paying for it. Mm-hmm. And we'll just pull the money from that. But what do you think, like, the actual goal is for, like stakes of a studio?
It doesn't make any sense to me. If I'm going to buy a stake of your studio, I just want the whole thing.
Or a controlling share, right?
Yeah. Like, you invest 20%, we'll do this, this, and this. Why don't I just invest 100%? and just take it.
Yeah, that's the thing I've been trying to, for the last like 2 days, trying to like justify it in my head. The only studios I could see that would make sense is like their mobile game studios, potentially, because you know people are interested in like,
yeah, like if
getting
they wanted
money
to do,
from
like,
that.
I mean, off the top of my head, I'm really bad with Square franchises, but if they wanted to do, I can't even think of one right now. Like if they wanted,
I mean,
do,
Final Fantasy is the only one that like matters.
If
really.
You wanted to do like a Final Fantasy mobile game, which already exists, you know, like in you know here NetEase, who's you know she like the problem is that where Square would want this, like where a company would want this to work, in your example of mobile games, like Square's already there. Like,
oh, and
like,
exactly,
like
and
NetEase,
it's basically
okay,
like,
and
hey.
And I hate doing this because everybody's going to roll their eyes, but NetEase invested in Bungie because they wanted Bungie to help them make a looter mobile game. Like, they wanted something that they, and they wanted, like, the mobile market is huge in the U.S., in North America, but it's bigger in Asia, and NetEase is established out of Asia, but they don't have anybody that can do, like, a shooter style like Bungie could, so they went to them. There was an asset that Bungie had. And to put it in the mobile market, if NetEase came to Square and says, hey, we want to do such and such mobile, Square's like, well, we can just do it ourselves.
Yeah. Like,
so
the
I don't understand this. Like, if this was, again, if this was Xbox trying to expand cloud gaming into Asia better and to do things that would trigger that market where Xbox has predominantly struggled to get a foothold, it would make sense. But Square has struggled to get a foothold in the West, and then they just sold their Western studios.
Yeah, well, it's funny, when it comes to Square Enix, they basically bought all these Western studios to get a foothold in the Western studios,
right.
Or to get a foothold in the Western market, and their Japanese games are what got them a foothold in the...
But
they
at the same
basically
time,
had the
Deus Ex
mentality.
Was fine. Tomb Raider was fine, like, and critically and personally, people are like, "Yeah, you should play it. It's fun. I had a great time. It expanded the story of Lara Croft, the Deus Ex storyline, the cool stuff that this guy can do, and that you know, like that's like, there's been games that huge franchises that have built off of Tomb Raider and Deus Ex, so they were fine. Like,
what I ultimately think happened with Square is at the time, and they might finally be coming to the realization when they bought those Western studios. The world was in a spot where companies were still thinking regionally as opposed to globally. And Square now, after Final Fantasy,
has 100% evolved versus like, oh, that's a Japanese game, I don't play it.
No,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
That's a JRPG. That's fun. You know, like,
and they realized that to where it's just like, oh shit, Final Fantasy 14 is everywhere.
Yeah.
Any RPG that they put out on the Switch is everywhere, and they finally looked at it of like, wait, so we don't need these Western studios to have a foothold in the Western market because
people
around
the
world.
We don't need them to play Tomb Raider if they're still playing 14.
Yeah, and it's like, if you want to play a game, you just play a game. It doesn't matter where the studio comes from, and it just took them probably 10, 15 years too late to realize that you don't actually need to worry about like attacking regionally, like everything's global now, and they sadly, you know, realize that like, oh, Crystal and Eidos, we don't need to have those studios anymore because people all over the world are playing our Japanese games understand
the
more.
Only thing I could see them doing is renting their IPs. I mean, I don't remember, and you'll correct me, obviously. I think you might remember, did Eidos retain Deus Ex, or is it under Square?
Yeah. No, it's with, got all the IPs.
Yeah, never mind.
So.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say they could sell some of these IPs, or not sell them, but rent them to other companies.
If anything, what I think this ultimately means is they're going to go to venture capitalists, people in the non-gaming market, and be like, do you want in on the gaming market? Well, here's 20% of a studio that makes games that you don't quite understand, but they make
really
money.
Cool in your portfolio.
Yeah. It's basically going to old money and being like, you want to diversify your portfolio, and then that's ultimately where it goes, as opposed to like this opening a door for like a Sony or Microsoft or any other studio. Or it's just going to make them more lean, so then they can be acquired, kind of, you know, what Ubisoft appeared to be doing, which again, we'll talk about Ubisoft in just a couple minutes, because they're in the news too. But this is definitely something to watch for, just to see what happens with the studios that aren't working, that aren't working on the Final Fantasy stuff, because they have a ton of different studios who are working on a ton of different things. But you have to wonder, like, eventually they're going to run out of remasters to do, which is primarily what they've been doing, or remakes. And what happens to those studios? And I think that's kind of what Square's looking at. Of like, we need to get some money rolling in on these studios, so when we do run out of remakes in 5-10 years, we'll have money to do other things. Here's something. It's not too big a deal, but I always love when this happens every generation.
Yeah.
It seems to be happening a little early. Xbox freed up memory in the Xbox Series S. So a new dev kit has been received or updated, and it frees up hundreds of megabytes in memory. So we're talking about RAM. The extra memory is capable of being used for graphical performance and stability. The Series S, of course, has been like the big seller for Xbox. It has led the last like 3 quarters in North America for pure volume.
Pure speculation is the S, but I mean, price point based is they're saying
it's the S.
Yeah, they're saying the series is sold, but this just probably even more affirms that you're spending a little bit more time paying attention to the S. Probably because there's more of them out there, and like you're saying, is that they're realizing like, hey, like, you know, whether they thought it, didn't think it, or entry level didn't enter, or how they thought the entry level was going to work, like, okay, like this is becoming the majority console. And not, you know, not the niche console, and we're having some performance problems because it's the majority.
Yeah, and why the S has been able to handle like most games, because it's targeted as a 1080p 60 frames machine. It has shown signs.
Cares about?
Yes. Yeah. At least for the next couple years.
Yeah.
Before more 4K stuff just gets bigger and bigger. The S has struggled with hitting those goals as, you know, games are getting more, you know, bigger, more expansive. And this is one of those things. This happens every generation. It usually takes 1 or 2 years, and we're right on, you know, with 3 years now, these consoles have been out.
Close. Like, yeah, probably this November, yeah.
Yeah. And now is when they look to just free up memory. Like, this isn't going to make a huge difference in performance, but it should add stability, and we're probably not too far from hearing, especially if they're able to free up memory in the S, they'll probably free up memory in the Series X, because most likely, usually what happens is, you know, they figure out to get the UI leaner,
yeah,
and then free up that memory. We saw this happen with the PS3, I think, a couple times. It was always big when the PS3 did it, because it was like usually around like a Naughty Dog game release.
Yeah,
that they would free up extra resources
that they kind of just turned on too. That people were like, "What?" Like the first time.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it is. Whether it was the media player where they were able to just like, and people were like, "Oh, the CD doesn't work," and then they just put something in their firmware and a firmware update that like made it work. And they've also like just turned something else on before that people were like, what the, you know, similar to like how Switch was like, hey, it works with Bluetooth stuff now, like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's been out 6 years and now it can do
hold
Bluetooth?
The phone.
Like,
I mean, to think Xbox as a software based company, you know, that like you know half joking but half serious, will slowly roll out Windows 11 and force it out, that, you know, that they can't improve their hardware performance through their firmware and software. Like, Sony can do it too, obviously, but,
and they have in the past.
Yeah, so like, I think this is great. And I also feel like this is Microsoft's stop bridge, like stopgap for, we want everybody on the cloud eventually anyways. Like, that's what they want. Mm-hmm. And if they can get through this generation and do some tweaks and some changes under the hood to keep pushing those limits of where it's like, okay, like the S can't do anything else. Okay, now turn the cloud on.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Where it's just going to, you know, we might hit a point in a couple of years where it's just like, oh shit, is this game actually downloaded, or am I streaming it right now?
And it won't matter if the tech improves. Like, it won't matter. Like, yeah, it's already working at kind of on the phones. Like, you know, like you're playing the game over 5G, like, so, and it's running well. Like, what would it run over, you know, like nice Wi-Fi with a bigger Wi-Fi card than what comes in a phone, you know?
Yeah.
More hardwired in some situations for people.
Yeah. I'm just happy to see this happening already. I would probably have to go back to see the timeline on like when PlayStation did this with the PS3 and mm-hmm. when they did this with the 360 Microsoft to where like I feel like this is happening sooner, which gives me hope that this can happen again. And, you know, as they optimize and get more data from people, just like, oh, you know, people aren't
they don't
using
use
this, like,
these tiles in the operating system to get rid of them.
I mean, like PlayStation announced that they're getting rid of the Accolade system mm-hmm. Last week. That takes up some resource in that system, as small as it is.
And here's the deal, too, and this is for both of these systems, but on your PlayStation 5 or your Xbox Series X, like, when is the last time you went into, like, the media tab and watched something? You watch it on your Roku or your smart TV itself. Like, yes, I understand that there are some consumers that, you know, that have TV, that use their PlayStation or their Xbox as their entertainment device as well. I get that. But maybe give that as an option. Like as an option to download a separate thing, and if you know, and we've seen it before. In order to get maximum performance, we recommend this much free space. You only have this much free space. Have you considered not downloading this? Because like
it's like your computer tells you if you get under 10%. If you're gonna tell you're gonna see some performance issues.
That Hellblade 2 will run better if I delete the media tab on my Xbox Series. I'll do it.
Or not even like that, it would help game performance of just like, hey, your UI is going to load faster because you don't have to load in this extra shit you're not using, which would be very helpful in some instances. Because the Accolades thing does take up a spot in the UI.
Well,
that's going to be gone.
Disney Plus is getting a native app on the PlayStation. I'm like, that's cool. I don't care. I already got it. I've got one that I watch it on, but that's cool.
As someone who's had like two PS3s die on me, at a certain point, I just stopped using my PS3 for media because I'm just like, oh no, this is taking time away. Yeah. Like it's on when it doesn't need to be. So I treat my PS5 and my Series X that way, where it's just like, no. I got a Chromecast. Like I'll burn that to the ground.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not going to have this system run this.
And I feel like, especially now, like if you own a PS5 and you wanted to have a TV or a monitor that takes advantage of the proper features, you're probably not using the media features anyways because you're using them on your TV that it came in.
As someone who's had like two PS3s die on me, at a certain point, I just stopped using my PS3 for media because I'm just like, oh no, this is taking time away. Yeah, like it's on when it doesn't need to be. So I treat my PS5 and my Series X that way, where it's just like, no. I got a Chromecast. Like I'll burn that into the ground, but I'm not going to have this system run this. Well, I mean, and we saw this with the PS3 as like they just kind of they removed apps, you know, of just like, oh, you know what, this app is no longer going to work anymore, so we're just going to sunset it, and they got rid of it, you know, like this happens. But I'm weird anytime I hear that like they did some stuff in the back. I appreciate that of just like, oh, cool, they're making changes in the back end and we might see some improvements. Like I don't have a Series S, but I'm like, okay, maybe this will come over and lead to them doing some changes on a Series X that will help. Like, always looking forward to that. All right. Moving on. Evo happened this weekend. There were some announcements. I haven't watched Evo just yet. So I haven't caught up with all the news. But what came out of it is Dragon Ball FighterZ is getting rollback netcode. Usually we wouldn't talk about something like this, but I thought enough people would be interested to know. But Arc System Works said that rollback code, netcode, is finally coming to the system, which the community has been demanding for since the game came out. But there's a catch. It's only coming to the PS5, Xbox Series S and X, and PC when that gets released, and they don't have a release date for those. They said players will be able to upgrade from the PS4 and Xbox One version, but there's no details on if it is going to be free or paid. The interesting thing is PC players will be able to choose if they prefer rollback netcode or the current netcode that's on there. But there's also a little bit extra thing. The minimum specs will be increased on PC if you want rollback netcode. It's a weird thing to do to your community that's like still relatively new and potentially growing, but it's basically forcing that community into the next gen for whatever reason.
If you want to compete at all, you got to do this.
Basically, which is weird because like PS4 games have rollback netcode. That's nothing mm-hmm. new. It's just something on their end told them that they have to get that extra power to do it.
I think they're just using this as an excuse
to sell on a new platform, right? Yeah. Like it feels like that. Yeah.
I mean, they want any fighting game wants their best looking system or their best looking product to be shown, and they don't want people going, well, PS4 is the common denominator, so we're going to compete on that. And they want to, it sounds like they want, based on this, I don't know enough about this game, but based on these bullet points that you put in here, it sounds like they want their players on PC.
Kind of, yeah, too, especially like PC, like other than like increasing the minimum specs, but yeah. Maybe they do want them on PC.
You get more customization on PC. Like, so they're catering this challenging, competitive fighter, which, tournaments and everything are going to be based around. And if you're not playing on PC and you can't select your netcode, you're arguably at a disadvantage.
The thing that I find interesting is, so on PC, if you choose the current netcode or the rollback netcode, are you then sectioning yourself off from mm-hmm. playing with other people on PC because you might have players that don't even know that's an option to pick.
And yeah, it's just, you're like, this is again what these companies, part of the reason why we're seeing so much crossplay be a thing is that these companies are tired of segmenting their communities. Like, oh, for whatever reason, this game's doing really well on PlayStation, not really good on Xbox. Xbox matchmaking times are 4.5 minutes. PlayStation's are 2 minutes. Oh, if we merge them together, everybody's matchmaking time is going to be 1:50.
Yeah, and it's bizarre, this move, because it's just like, okay, so that means you're cutting off your PS4 players from your PS5 players, your Xbox One from your Series X, and then you're splitting up potentially your PC player base, which is, supposed to be insular already. Mm-hmm. This is just kind of a weird move. I'm sure there's a technical reason that this has to happen.
Then say it.
I know, that's what I mean. Like, because unless there was like a later stream during the Evo thing, but like all they put out was like a picture with text on it, like everyone does now when they make an announcement.
I got to reach out to Khalif. Khalif was there, so I got to reach out to him and talk and see what he thinks about this. And he's also really into fighting games, so he's actually a really good person to talk about this.
Yeah, I was so annoyed. Evo took place the same weekend I was at a convention because I love sitting down and watching all the tournament finals. But yeah, I this is definitely a bizarre way to go about things. And to your point, if you have to do this, you need to have the messaging out there to where you explain exactly why, especially if you're doing it at Evo. Yeah. Those people will understand.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the hardcore players.
They want the most even, balanced, fair playing field. And if you say something like, hey, to provide the most standardized, stable net code for you to have the least lagged experience possible, this is what has to happen.
Yeah.
And why you can they get don't very technical. Say that. Yeah, like why they don't want to say that is just crazy. Because these are the type of players that aren't comfortable using, 6 foot or longer cords because they think that there's button drift time from if it's more than 6 feet long.
Well, they're the celebrated when the PS4 did like with the new DualShock controllers, like if you plugged them in, it gave you a more stable connection.
Right.
And that was a community, even though they don't like controllers for fighting games, they were like, hell yeah. So this is definitely the people that count frames and hitboxes. Those are the ones that you can get really granular with, and they will then.
These are the kind of people that watch Digital Foundry every time they post a video.
Yes. So this is the community to explain this. And then those are the people that, casual fans follow. So just give them that info and then they'll explain it. And I'm sure by now people have broken down reasons why it needed to happen, but it definitely would have helped because every new story I pulled for this was very much like, what the fuck's their problem? Which means they probably didn't do a good enough job explaining it when most of the media sites are just like, this is weird. But that also could be commentary in modern day video game outlets. But I won't get there. All right. Last bit of news. We're talking about our favorite will they, won't they company, Ubisoft. Tencent has basically, I don't know if they directly announced it or it leaked, but Tencent wants Ubisoft. So Tencent has made it known through one way or another that they want to increase their stake in Ubisoft. They currently own about 5% of Ubisoft already, but they have made it known that they're willing to pay above Ubisoft's current valuation to increase their stake. Ubisoft has made it clear what they've last 2 years that they're interested in being acquired.
Especially after they were so defensive
for years. Yeah. I put that in my notes. They've been fighting an acquisition for years, but specifically from Vivendi. Tencent hasn't said how much they want to increase their stake. They just currently own 5%, but they are currently putting together an offer to send to Ubisoft. So, Dave, Tencent purchasing Ubisoft.
This is where this gets weird. Like, in terms of, like, Ubisoft is seeking a sugar daddy, and Tencent is willing to increase the thing, increase its cost. So Tencent is seeing something that they're, you know. What they're seeing, I don't know, because Ubisoft hasn't really been able to release anything solid in 18 months. And so they're obviously seeing something to the point where they're willing to pay above value for it. But then at the same time, like, what would change? Because if Tencent goes over 50% ownership, like, I wouldn't, if I'm Tencent, I wouldn't want to change what's already somewhat working.
Yeah, you would want to guide them, hopefully.
Yeah.
But Tencent, in terms of all their,
but
like,
I wouldn't, like, buy, if I'm Tencent, I wouldn't buy Ubisoft and close Massive or
no,
fire
exactly.
Everybody at Massive. You keep doing what you're doing. You know, like, I wouldn't.
Massive might be the only one you let survive right. at a certain point.
I mean,
point.
That's the main one I can think of. Or, yeah. like, yeah. Ubisoft Montreal.
Ubisoft Quebec. Ubisoft
yeah,
Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. like, there's a handful of ones that are like, hey, you guys have done a great job with Assassin's Creed over the last 10 years. It's a top 5 NPD game, you know, 11 years in a row. You're fired. Like, like, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, we found out from, you know, and I'm assuming, like, we found out from the Bungie deal, and I'm assuming that some of it was in the Bethesda deal as well. There's a lot of money tied up in retention in terms of making these purchases. So, like, I it just literally is Ubisoft sitting there with their hand out. And right now, somebody will put money in the hand and let them kind of stay intact. Like, we're seeing these acquisitions happen, but we're not seeing the core foundations of these companies changing yet.
And that's the thing, like, Ubisoft, probably they're, in terms of, like, the Yves or Yves Guillemot family, they own 15% of Ubisoft right now. And as far as I know, they still want to own 15%. So, like, the perfect partner would probably be Tencent, because as of right now, Tencent has been someone who acquires studios and then doesn't bother the studios. So
That we've heard. Yeah.
But again, they own these companies, so there could be some really strong NDAs to tell us otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this would be the ideal partner for Ubisoft if they don't want to change, want to keep the same people in charge. But that could change because, again, we kind of see Tencent as like a sleeping giant in terms of, like, they own a little bit of everybody and everything seems fine, but we don't know if they're just going to snap their fingers and be like, own everything now.
Thanos snap video games. I mean, because, like, I'd be really curious. Can, like, it's like, as we, you know, delve deeper into this, can Phil Spencer tell Pete Hines what to do? Like, can he? And the answer to that is, right now, we don't know. Can Herman Holtz tell Pete Parsons at Bungie what their next thing or what their next focus will be? On the surface, everything that I've read so far, the answer to that is no.
But then on the Sony financials, it says kind of something else.
Yeah, so like I don't know. Really, like, Pete Hines has been running Bethesda, running it relatively well, and now Phil Spencer and Xbox own them. Can Phil Spencer tell him, hop on one foot and make a video game backwards? You know, it's a broad example, but can he do it? Like, I don't know. Like, what's the structure and the hierarchy? Like, does Hines report to Spencer, or does Hines and Spencer report to somebody else? Like, it's, we don't really know. Like, and we
they
really
did move
won't
Spencer
know.
Up
I know they did. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, can Phil Spencer say no? You know, I don't know. No, Fallout team, you're not doing this. You're doing this new Halo open world game. We don't want to. Yeah. I don't care. Like, you're I own you. Like,
yeah. Well, and it's funny though when it comes to like Pete Hines of Bethesda, we're like, of course not. He can't tell Pete Hines what to do because they actually do well. And then they're going to have Bobby Kotick under them, you know, technically.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Bobby Kotick is like, we're doing this, Phil Spencer's going to be like, why are you still here?
Yeah.
You know?
So it's just so weird. Or like,
we don't know.
Like, can Phil Spencer, at this point in time, like, once this acquisition deal goes through, can Phil Spencer go, hey, you know what? You're not doing WoW anymore.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not.
Can they do something at Extreme?
Right.
We don't know.
Like, you know, technically, he's the CFO of Xbox Gaming, and Bethesda and Blizzard and Activision are going to be under Xbox Gaming. Like, so
it's like we're saying,
can Tencent at 51% ownership of Ubisoft say, you're not making Assassin's Creed anymore? The Division franchise is dead. We're not continuing our deal with Tom Clancy. Like, it all depends on what the contracts say, I guess.
Yeah, and we won't know what that's going to be, and Tencent has done a pretty good job of keeping any of that secret. Like, the studios that have come out have said, everything's fine, we could just do what we want. But, like, that's only going to be the case while you're successful. And then things are going to change when you're not successful.
Yeah.
And Ubisoft is one of those companies that, like, they don't have a lot of hits right now.
They're on a downward trajectory right now, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
They are.
Or their trajectory has, at least at minimum, has plateaued flat.
Yeah. They just, like, basically Ubisoft at one point had like 4 or 5 studios. They were releasing like 2-3 games a year and they were all hits.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like, if it's not a massive game, it's right. not really a hit. Yeah. And
now the Avatar game's been pushed. You know, like, there's a lot of
Assassin's Creed's in limbo.
Yeah, Prince of Persia has been pushed indefinitely. Like, Skull and Bones looks rough.
Ubisoft has a lot of questions, which is probably why Tencent's like, you know what? We will pay more than you're valued because your value is down right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that crazy to make that leap and be like, we'll acquire you now. And again, I think, outside of a Microsoft or Sony or Epic Games buying Ubisoft, Tencent might be the best partner in terms of if they still want to have the perception that they are still in control. It could work out, but this could also be a poison pill that doesn't hit them for a couple years. Yeah. We don't know, unfortunately.
All right, so we're going to move on to what's delayed, and sadly we have multiple things to talk about in this category. So River City Girls pushed past summer 2022.
Which is annoying because, River City Girls 2, I forgot to put the 2 in there.
No.
It's, August. Like, I don't mind if you delay your game kind of last second, but if you do that, you have to give a follow-up release date, like, immediately. As opposed to being like, yeah, we're going to be past summer 2022. So, like, September 1st? September 2nd? Is it the second week of September? Third week of September? I'm bummed about this. I hate when delays happen like this.
Yeah.
Well, makes you think something's broken.
Yeah, and then Marvel Midnight Suns delayed again until 2023. This has to be them tweaking the card system that they're getting terrible feedback on.
It's funny, though, because, like, they're getting bad feedback.
People played this.
No, people played that and liked it, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't think the general audience went to those videos and actually watched people play it because
I think
they
that
know
the problem
they're
that
getting.
They're running into with this game right now is, okay, like, we paid for this Marvel contract, so they're already in the hole, and now we have to generate a game that's going to sell X amount of copies, whatever that number is. And their focus groups are telling them right now, like, this card system is going to limit your ability to sell X number of copies. Or,
And,
as an example, I'm not necessarily just picking on the card system, but, you know, like, because this is the XCOM devs, this is 2K?
Yes.
Yes. So, whatever focus group or whatever money that 2K pumped into this game and says, okay, in order for us to make this game a success, which 2K does a pretty good job of doing, whether you like them or don't like them, they make money. Their focus groups must be telling them it's not hitting the mark. It's not going to hit the mark. And it's important enough to them to either retain this Marvel license from Disney or to make a profitable game that it's better to delay it than it is to release it and fix it.
And right now, I think they're hitting a thing where they're being like, hey, it's a card game. And audience is like, ew, a card game. And because they're for Axis, they're like, but it's the best damn card system
and it looked out really
there.
Good. Like when I saw the stuff and I saw gameplay of it, I was like, hey, coming right out of was it the Xbox showcase or the Summer Game Fest?
It was Summer Game Fest, I believe. Yeah.
And there was long videos of content creators playing it and messing with the cards and the developers talking and saying, hey, you've got a relationship with the character and a relationship with another character you can build, and at the 25-hour mark you can do this, and the tree and the time investment they were talking about was intriguing, but people were like, the hell is that card stuff? Like, whether it's good or bad, it's like, what is that?
And that was your reaction when you first saw the game.
Yeah.
But because you're more connected in the gaming world, you're like, I'm going to actually watch the gameplay video. But you have a segment of the audience that are like not going to do the homework. They're going to hear
they
card game
Gwent.
And stop. Yeah. It's that thing that's
and
going
I'm,
to prevent
I'm disappointed.
Them.
This game looks cool. Like card system or no card system, the game looks cool. Like XCOM Marvel looks fascinating.
Because those are great games and it's a great developer.
Yeah.
It sounds like the first time they delayed it is they were focused on like, how do we make this the most cinematic card battling system possible? And it looks like they were kind of achieving that when those gameplay videos came out. But their focus groups, 2K, must have been like, more. because they can't undo the card system.
I'm afraid
this
is not
going
to have the card system.
No, I think it's too late. Like, we're talking about a game that's already been, like, 3-4 years in development. At that point, you cancel the game.
Yeah.
I think...
It's going to have a very simplified system, then.
I think it's already pretty simple.
I agree. I've never played a card, and that didn't look too overwhelming to me. But I think it's going to be even simpler than what we saw.
I think what they end up having to do is just crank up that cinematic feel to it. Like, they're going to have to hit...
Or they're making them cut the time play, the investment. Because talking about playing a 30-35 hours on a character, people are like, I like to like
there's also
multiple characters, and I don't want to have a full-time job playing Midnight Suns.
Yeah, that's a possibility. There's also a possibility they had microtransactions that they're like, okay, fuck, we can't have two strikes against us going into this game.
That's true.
And then they're reworking that system. Because a card game, no matter what type of card game it is, that screams like we could have packs. Yeah. We could have
skins,
cosmetics, skins.
And cool
so there could be there's a chance that they're just like, okay, let's rework whatever system we were going to put in there. Yeah. And then let's crank up the cinematics, because if it looks cool, people might be able to ignore certain aspects of it. And then there's also a chance they looked at the story and are just like, okay, how can we make this,
because this is kind of what everybody wants, is you're sort of, I believe they said you're making your own hero.
Yeah, you're making your own hero. You're interacting with some of the biggest, heroes and villains. And then they're also getting, they have Nico from The Runaways in this game. So they're even going after,
super
niche, market.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks so cool. Like, I'm just, and I also think that they're probably, 2K's looking at the MPD numbers for 2022 saying, you know what? Let's just walk away from this year. It's not worth trying to sell these games right now. Like, the consumers aren't buying it. They're just not buying games at this moment.
They're not buying it. There's not enough systems out there to where they looked at it like, okay, how many people, because they have that data of like, how many Marvel gamers have next-gen consoles? Mm-hmm. They have that data. And they're just like, that number is just not where it needs to be. Though if they release in the first half of 2023, they're screwed, because that's already... Now. Yeah, it's already packed. So this seems like this is going to slip into the summer.
Uh-huh.
I think this should have been a summer game already, because there's nothing coming out. Saints Row coming out next week?
Is it? Yeah. I
don't know. Yeah.
This is why this is the double-edged sword. Like, people are like, I want to know what's going on. And this is the bad part of, earnings calls and, concept art leaks and doing this. Because now they have to, all these people think it's this. Like, we need to really tell them what it is. Yeah, in order for us to tell them what it is, we have to announce the game. All right, let's just announce it. Like, our target window is, like, 36 months away. Like, we can't do that. We'll just do it. And then, you know, then it keeps changing. With the counter, with the reverse of it is me sitting in front of this microphone screaming at Santa Monica of going, don't you go past 90 days. You know, like, so... You know, I don't know where the sweet spot is, because, like, I feel like, as an example, God of War Ragnarok being teased, you know, last June, and then not hearing a date for it for over 13 months after the initial tease was irritating. But now the reverse of it is, we see Marvel Sons get revealed, dated, delayed, re-revealed, dated, delayed. It's irritating. Like, I don't know where the right thing is. Like, announce a game 12 months later, announce a release date. Like, there has to be some cadence that happens somewhere. But when you have so many different developers with so many different thought processes, there's no standardization. Not that I'm expecting there to be, but I would like it to be, hey, we announce a game on January 12th. We'll tell you next January when it's coming out.
Yeah, let me just get to the question now, because someone did ask this question. I just put it in the group. Let me just find the name of who asked it. Rogue 77 in our Discord basically asked about, like, games that set their goals too high and their release dates too soon. Like, do we think that happens too often?
Yeah, every Square Enix studio.
Every Square Enix studio, like, most of the stuff at that PlayStation, like, event that wasn't a PlayStation title.
Uh-huh.
But yes, I think, like, games are either setting their goals too high and their release dates too soon. And we're seeing it with, like, you know, the Quantic Dream game, and then Star Wars game.
Why do we know about a Star Wars game 6 years in advance?
And the problem is, this seems to be a pattern right now, and it's partly due to the pandemic and, like, the current job market, where a lot of these trailers we're watching are actually recruitment videos, which is just so bizarre. But what happened during the pandemic is, a lot of companies went work from home. A lot of companies didn't. And a lot of developers were like, I can work at any studio in the world now. My world that I can work in has expanded so much to where you have companies now like, shit, we need people to work for us. But now we're competing with every studio in the world.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where, like, hey, let's fly you out to Sony Santa Monica for an interview. We'll show you. We'll have you sign this piece of paper. We'll show you a couple things. If we hire you, we'll go farther. Now it's like, no, you need to show it to me while I'm sitting at my desk in Ohio.
Yeah, because I have Ubisoft calling me. I have Arcane calling me in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I have Guerrilla, you know, contacting me over in Amsterdam. So now you have, like, the very globalization thing that we're talking about Square just realizing the last couple of years, where now we're getting trailers that are just recruitment videos of just like, yo, do you want to work on a Star Wars game with David Cage? I mean, the answer is no, but, like, they have to do that because they're like, you know what? There's probably some developers that really fucking like Star Wars more than they don't like David Cage.
Yeah.
And they have to do that. So to what you were talking about earlier, I would love if they would standardize, you know, like, hey, game announced 12 months later.
Hey, whether released. You liked it or didn't like it, it's kind of, sort of, a little bit of what E3 used to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like,
set the standard and
June. Like, you're going to hear something cool in June, whether it's coming, like, in by the end of E3 in June, typically, we knew what was coming for the holiday. Like,
yeah,
like, we would know that. And then, you know, those couple of those things would get delayed into, like, February, March, and then the next June would happen. And, you know, you would see, or, and you would either get a date for this holiday coming up, or you'd get the, hey, come see us in March 2023 and we'll tell you more, you know, like, those kind of things, similar to what Sony did with God of War Ragnarok, where they showed a logo and they said 2022 and now they hit it. Like, you know, like, and that's great. Same thing with Horizon. Like, they hit it, but they were also super quiet about it. They were super quiet about Spider-Man. They were super quiet about God of War, you know. So there's a whole bunch of things. They've been able to handle it somewhat well versus, I think, Microsoft is, you know, trying to be like, hey, please continue to pay attention to us. Look over here. Look over here. Look over here. We know it's not ready yet, but look, it's pretty. Like, please pay attention. But and they're not there yet. And that's something that I think Spencer is, and his team are trying to build of like a cadence. And the, and it's
it, which is why they bought studios that already had a cadence. Yes. And are just like, okay, bring your culture here.
Yep.
To help.
So far, it hasn't turned into games yet, but hopefully, it can turn into games. You know, like, and but now Sony, like, is Haven going to be able to hit that cadence? Is Haven going to be able to do what they want them to do? Is Sometimes Always Monster is going to? There's a lot of ifs in there also. Like, and if you start for a long time, like a long, long time, like almost the entire PS4 era, if Sony proper Sony Studios released a game, it was good. It was solid. Just same like Nintendo. Nintendo directly, like, whether you like Mario or don't like Mario, fundamentally solid, great gameplay. Zelda's, solid gameplay. Consistent, doing what they're doing. Naughty Dog, great story, great gameplay, great looking. Sony Santa Monica, like, there was just this cadence, like, boom, 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 boom. And, yeah. You know, now it's starting, like, whether it's the pandemic or the next generation or the evolvement of the gamer, it's starting to become stagnant, and it's hard right now. Like, and I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, especially like you had that one year where PlayStation released three big games in one year. Mm-hmm. What is it? It was Detroit, God of War.
God of War, Detroit, and Spider-Man.
Spider-Man were all the same year. Yeah. And then
God of War was March, Detroit was like summer, and Spider-Man was October.
Yeah, and that was amazing. And Sony was able to do 2 to 3 games a year.
To be fair, I believe two of those studios were third-party acquisition IPs.
Technically, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because Insomniac wasn't owned by Sony at the time, and Quantic Dreams is still not owned by Sony. So, like, yeah. It was just one of those things where, like, but people looked at it as like, oh, look at what Sony's doing. And, you know, like, they were paying Quantic Dream to make the game they wanted them to make. They were paying Insomniac to make the game they wanted to make. And then they decided, I want to pay you to own you. And mm-hmm. people praised it, but then now when Microsoft is trying to do the same thing, just because they haven't released a high tier thing yet. Bethesda has, but it's just so weird. Now the thing I'm actually more concerned about Microsoft is like the Double Fines and the Ninja Theory of the world that haven't released anything since they've been bought, and they were bought when we still were with PS Nation.
Yeah, I mean, technically, Double Fine released Psychonauts 2, but that was almost already done
before
they got acquired. So you would imagine now they're a couple years away. Ninja Theory with Hellblade 2. Hellblade 2 almost feels like vaporware at this point because they don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, Obsidian, has done Outer Worlds.
Yeah, but that was done right before the acquisition, not too long. And they have Grounded in Early Access, and they have that one smaller game coming out, but still, they haven't hit their stride. Like, Microsoft is basically trying to duct tape together, mm-hmm. like, Confident Studios, to where it's like, okay, our first-party studios can't put out shit, so let's buy studios that can put out shit. Oh, shit, all those studios we bought just put out a game, so they're a couple mm-hmm. years away from releasing something again.
Crazy.
Which just seems like poor planning on their part, but that's just how it is. And Sony, they ended the PS4 generation fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, they almost went too hard.
Where people were like, do we really need a 5? Like,
And now their new console's out, and all their major studios are like, we already released something. We're like 3-4 years away from doing something else. Mm-hmm. Like,
So. All right. So I think we both have a pretty short what we're playing and watching. I've had some craziness going on at work with some visits coming, as well as moving my daughter into her dorms in Kentucky. However, I have been watching, and I've been enjoying it thoroughly, on ESPN, the documentary for Derek Jeter, the captain. That's really, really good. Whether you like Derek Jeter, or you don't like Jeter, you like the Yankees, you don't like the Yankees, them delving into the Jeter versus A-Rod thing and A-Rod coming to the Yankees and Jeter being the shortstop for the Yankees and his going back and forth with Steinbrenner, going back and forth with Cashman, the general manager, and contract negotiations, and that, you know, just how Jeter functioned and the New York lifestyle and being the face of baseball. Like, you know, when they were winning in his first 5 years or 6 years in the league, they won 4 World Series or something. you know, like in his relationship with Joe Torre, like it's, if you're into baseball at all, or, you know, or even just in general, like really well put together documentaries. Like this is just a very well put together documentary with really good pacing, you know, really good interviews, really good reactions, you know, like of where they're seeing, like similar to The Last Dance. Like the ESPN mm-hmm. documentary team is very good of where they like kind of give somebody the tablet and say, hey, like this is what so-and-so said. That's not how that happened. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, so that storytelling is really good. On HBO for me also, it ended up premiering last night and I got to watch it when my audio wasn't working. So that was a little mini bonus, not on purpose, but, the Hard Knocks are focusing on the Detroit Lions, the HBO series of training camp. So you're getting to see a lot of stuff. I'm a huge Lions fan. Dan Campbell is the head coach. He is a crazy dude. Like, just a crazy, crazy dude. Like, this guy, Michael, I want you to watch this episode of Hard Knocks just because I want you to tell me if this guy can be a WWE person when he gets fired from the Lions coach. Like, so, like, this, you know, just to see the, you know, I've never really delved too heavily into Hard Knocks. It's been a successful series for a long time, but most of the time it's like the Cowboys or the Texans or the Rams or the Chargers. I'm like, I don't care. You know, but these are the Lions. I love football, and I'm going to watch it just because they're the Lions. So those are the two major things that I had been watching. Right before recording today, I did boot up and go through the tutorial for Multiverse. There's been a lot of people talking about Multiverse. It doesn't...
Almost hit 10 million players, yeah. I believe, and it's not even out yet.
Yeah, the preseason pass is like $5, and I'm like, that's not bad. I was looking at some mm-hmm. of the progression, and I was looking at some things, and I'm like, okay. There seems to be a little bit of a learning curve. I played through the tutorial, played one match, a team's match, and we won. So I got a good, you know, mm-hmm. chunk of points and unlock. I like how the rewards are given to you and how the UI is functioning. So like it's definitely intriguing. It's colorful. It's nice looking. Cool music. So it's free to download right now. I don't think it's necessarily. I don't know if it's going to be free to play.
It is, I believe.
Okay, but yeah, like it doesn't, like on the surface, it doesn't look too expensive for the preseason battle pass.
Season one was delayed.
I'm saying there's a preseason battle pass. I understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, it definitely sounds crazy. It makes no sense. But yeah, that's just what they're doing. Yeah.
So
and they had to delay season one because they realized that, like, oh shit, there's 10 million people. We got to make sure season one's fucking perfect. Yeah.
So it's definitely intriguing. So that's kind of cool. I don't know why Angela and I haven't done it yet, but we'll get it done before school, before she starts going back to school or going back to work for school and Owen goes to school. But I think her and I are going to play As Dust Falls together.
I forgot that game came out.
Yeah. So yeah. It was one of the things it was kind of on the list for on vacation and it just didn't work out. But I think that she watched the trailer and, you know, so that might be something we play together. I'll see. I might take a webcam upstairs and plug it into the Xbox to see if I can stream it. I haven't streamed directly from the Xbox console before, but I know you guys like to see my wife sometimes play video games because that's fun to watch. So,
and then you got to mess with Dante's Inferno within the next two weeks.
I do need to do that. Yes, I do. Right. Now that you reminded me that, I still need to download that. She asked me about that last week. So maybe that's what I'll do on Friday when I'm off. So, but that is mostly it for playing and watching. Another thing that did happen today, the Tigers, again, whether you guys like sports or don't like sports, my Major League Baseball team, the Tigers, fired the general manager that has been terrible for the last 7 years. So I'm pretty happy.
You're having a good sports week.
Yeah. So, but for the four terrible sports teams that I have currently right now, but football soon, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's playing and watching for me. So.
Me, I finished season 3 of The Boys. Wasn't expecting to get that into it to where I finished 3 seasons in about 2 weeks. 8 episodes a season. So it isn't too crazy, the amount of episodes that I went through. And I already saw season 1, like most of it, if not all of it, when that aired. So it was really just 2 seasons in a matter of 2 weeks. So really enjoyed that. Looking forward to where they go for the next season. I'm pretty sure it's already been renewed. It's like the only thing people watch on Amazon. So I think it's like pretty safe. So watched a lot of that. But my weekend was spending the entire weekend at C2E2, which is the comic convention in Chicago. We ended up just getting a hotel nearby and just staying there the entire week. This is usually a like March, April convention, but the pandemic kind of threw them out of whack to where last year they did it in December. So we skipped last year, and that was the first time I haven't gone to C2E2 when I after I went like 10 years in a row. So it was a little different to get back to the convention after taking a year off and, like, you know, the pandemic preventing us from doing that. So it being in the summer was interesting because summer is comic conventions season, so they didn't really have a ton of guests. So we didn't really watch any panels. We basically just explored the show floor for 3 days and spent a stupid amount of money, I would say, on random things. Mostly actually buying gifts for other people, just because we'd see stuff and be like, oh, we know someone that likes that, buy it. And that was the whole weekend. Since we were in the hotel, we did like some people watching where we just kind of like drank in the lobby or at the bar, just kind of watch cosplayers just stumble around and just have fun, you know, like at 1 a.m. seeing, like, I don't know, like a Batman, a Starfire, and someone dressed as Barney the Dinosaur just getting wasted in the lobby was like super fascinating to watch. Yes, there was someone cosplaying as
it's
Barney.
Like E3 on steroids.
Pretty much. though, just like E3, nerds can't handle their fucking liquor. So you just see people just super sloppy, and you're like...
See the Barney bent over the table throwing up or something. You know?
I kid you not. So we went upstairs to our room around like 12, 1 o'clock, and I looked out the hotel window at like 2 a.m, and I saw the Barney just standing out there alone at 2 a.m, and it looked like a horror movie because there was no one around, and you just see a Barney, and I'm like on the 20th floor, and I'm just looking down, and there's just a Barney just standing in this grass field.
Somebody else in a different hotel room being just high as a kite, man, just looking at that like, dude, there's a purple dinosaur downstairs.
No, the best part is, like, I don't know if they do this on purpose, but there was like a teacher's convention happening in a hall, like,
because
McCormick is like three halls. So there was probably like a 50-year-old teacher that had no idea what was happening, looked out their window, and they just see a Barney staring up at the sky at 2 a.m. in a, like, a grass field.
Holding a bottle of Crown in his one of his hands.
Legit, yeah. You might have nailed. I forgot what liquor bottle I saw him with. I think it might have been a Jack Daniels bottle when we saw him in the lobby.
Crown's the first indicator of mine, sorry.
Yeah. So that's always fun. That's why we like people watching at night, because it's like you either see, like, the random celebrities that are hanging out at the convention that weekend, and then you just see, like, people that had no idea that there was a convention happening that week. Why is there, like, Street Fighter people walking around this convention? And why are they happy? Oh, they're doing comic book era? Oh, that makes sense. You just get these weird interactions where you see people just very confused about what the hell we just walked into. C32 was my entire weekend. So I didn't play any video games. It was just exploring a convention. Pandemic. So that was pretty fun. I've been baseball games and all the stuff since, you know, everything opened up, but definitely stay on the show floor and there's just like thousands of people walking around. It was definitely like, huh, things are kind of getting back to normal. So that was nice. But that is pretty much it. Not much video game time. I also need to get through Dante's Inferno. I kind of started it after I mentioned it to Dave last weekend, but I just haven't had a chance to really dive into it. In case anyone's wondering, they didn't get to the end of last week's episode. For the August Patreon episode, we're going to do a safe to spoil for Dante's Inferno. Just because I just kind of want to play Dante's Inferno. So if you have Game Pass, it is available on Game Pass. I think Ultimate, because I think Ultimate's the one it comes with, the EA.
I believe so, yeah.
Part. So yeah, that's why we're going to be playing that. And then next month or the month after that, we'll dive into PlayStation Plus and find a random game for that.
All right. So questions. Why don't you go ahead and read Andy's question, since it's going to be for you anyways. So.
Yeah. Or just resubbing. I was subjected to Papa John's epic stuffed crust ad. Now I need Chicago Man MJC's opinion on stuffed crust pizza. I've never had stuffed crust pizza.
Neither
Dave
have
just
I.
looked at me.
No, neither have I.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay. I know that, and I'm not trying to hijack this, but I know that you're not a huge fan of breads.
No, I love bread.
Okay.
I forgot why you think
certain,
I hate bread.
Certain breads, because you don't like pretzels and you don't like certain breads.
Yeah, well, because I don't consider pretzel, like, yeah, but pretzel is bread. But I like pretzel bread, but pretzels themselves, disgusting. Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of stuff in the crust at all, whether it's pepperoni in the crust or cheese in the crust, or like I'll dip the crust sometimes in certain things, like in marinara sauce and, you know, stuff like that. But I don't really need things inserted in my crust.
Crust by itself. So I feel like you're almost ruining it by just jamming pepperoni in there, to where I don't know, just like biting into crust and just getting like a chunk of pepperoni and cheese out of the crust just doesn't work for me. I don't know why. I just can't get over that. I'm stuffed crust curious. Like, I'm every time I see it as an option, I'm like, do I get stuffed crust? But I'm just like, no, fuck that. If I'm gonna get a pizza,
yeah. And I think you and I are on the same page. Like, if there's a pizza, like if we go somewhere and there's a stuffed crust pizza, we're not gonna avoid it.
Yeah. If someone ordered it,
gonna order it. Like, if you're ordering a pizza place to deliver to your house, or you and Sarah are having dinner, like you guys aren't purposely ordering a stuffed crust pizza.
Yeah, exactly. But if we were at a party and someone's like, hey, I ordered 10 stuffed crust pizzas, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go out of my way. And anyways, like, being from Chicago, like, deep dish pizza sounds significantly better than just getting stuffed crust pizza.
Whatever they consider Detroit style pizza, I'm not a huge fan of it. Like the thick, almost like a pan pizza with a lot of sauce on. They do a lot of the saucing on top.
It's like sauce on top. Yeah.
So I mean, I've had it and it's good. It's, you know, like I don't really think there's like any. I think if you put, you know, marinara sauce, cheese, pepperoni, and a crust together, like however you make it, it's gonna taste good.
I think Detroit was desperate to have their own take on pizza, so they're just like, oh, what if we make the pizza and we just throw extra sauce on the top?
Yeah,
it's just like, really? That's your addition? Oh, it's square.
Yeah.
Okay, so is school lunch pizza.
Yeah.
Good job.
I will say, for whatever reason, and you can consider this to be hyperbole or not hyperbole, and I know you don't hate this pizza anyway, so I don't know if you'll hate this take or not. I feel like Little Caesars is based out of the Detroit area originally. I feel like Little Caesars pizza that I get here tastes better than like the ones that we get in LA or when we're traveling or anything like that. And I don't know why.
Here's a hot take. Every food outside of LA tastes better.
Where I am though, like if I come to Chicago and I order a Little Caesars pizza, I come home, I just like, I don't know if it's maybe because they have, as dumb as this sounds, like more experience messing with whatever dough they're doing because this is where they're from.
I don't know. But there's also something blasphemous of like coming to Chicago and be like, I got Little Caesars. But like, I see your point in like California. It's just like when we go to that Philly cheesesteak place.
Yeah. The water, or they ship their bread in, you know, like,
yeah, because they're like, the water here sucks in LA, which I could totally imagine why the one time we got Little Caesars in LA, we were like,
it wasn't bad.
But it didn't taste good.
Yeah.
It didn't hit the spot like Little Caesars is supposed to. But I also think like Little Caesars is only supposed to be enjoyed when you are absolutely starving. Like you need to be like,
unfortunately, it's the only kind of pizza that Owen currently will eat.
I mean, it's just a phase. It's just a phase.
I hope. You know? I pray. Because I don't mind having it, but it's kind of become our like bi-weekly like pizza that comes into the house thing.
Oh yeah, no, like we have like a rotation of pizza,
and their bread is
like
really good, so I'm okay.
But at least it's not Papa John's.
No, I don't, you know? We had Papa John's in Kentucky, and I think my wife and I had Papa John's a couple times in Kentucky and we were done.
Papa John's is the sad bread.
Yeah,
like it's just the most like tasteless pizza.
Do you have,
you can have
cottage in pizza by you?
No. We do get Jets pizzas.
Yeah, Jets is good.
We have those.
Jets is good in moderation. That's Jets. I feel like Jets is like super greasy.
Yeah. And that's like the problem with like
does
Pizza Hut.
Like does specialty pizzas, like the barbecue chicken Cajun pizzas, and like they like this.
I don't fuck with that.
I don't. I, like, not regularly, but there's certain times that I'm just like, I, you know, like I'll try that, like, buffalo chicken pizza. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
No, just give me, like, the base ingredients. Give me, like, pepperoni, sausage, or spinach, maybe mushrooms. I'm good. I don't like barbecue chicken pizza. I hate, like, this is how I know if I can, if I fuck with somebody, is if they suggest that, or this is how I find out I don't want to be friends with someone, is when they suggest, like, macaroni pizza. Mac and cheese pizza.
Yeah, I don't think I've had that. So
it's fucking disappointing. Like, in theory, you're like, oh, that could be good. No, it tastes like shit. So anytime someone's like, oh, macaroni and cheese pizza, it's like, get out of my house. Like,
yeah, I have a brother that's 10 years older than me, and when I was like a teenager and I was visiting him down in the Carolinas, he was, I don't even remember what pizza place he was working for at the time, but he was delivering pizzas like on the weekends. And it was like also when like dessert pizza was a thing, but any like mess up pizza would come to the house. So like that's where you got to be, you know, like a strudel on a pizza, like when they were doing the, yeah. You know, it might have been like, but I that's when I was just like pizza's pizza. Like
I think Domino's. I think it was Pizza Hut.
I keep saying it, but it was like you could get like strawberry filling with, you know, like a cake crust crumbled on top of it and eat it like a.
Yeah, I kind of, so like there, when I worked at Target, there was a Pizza Hut in the Target. So I ate those mini Pizza Hut pizzas way too often,
like the personal pan pizza or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been like, how long has it been since I left Target? Like 6 or 7 years, to where like, I kind of miss Pizza Hut, but for years I was
you get some PTSD pizza.
Basically, yeah. Like I see it and I'm just like, oh fuck, I'm back at Target. So I can't have Pizza Hut, though I'm tempted to go back to Pizza Hut.
You tell Sarah to order it, and then like by the time you get home, it's like on the table, like, and she throws the box away, so you don't know that it's Pizza Hut.
So, like, me and Sarah call, like, Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's, Little Caesars garbage pizza. Okay. Because it's basically garbage. Because it's, like, $5 shitty pizza. Yeah. Like, you're not craving it, but it's edible. What would you rank those for, the garbage pizza category?
Who are... Because there's a couple others.
Pizza Hut, Little Caesars, Domino's, Papa John's.
Papa John's is at the bottom.
Okay, agreed.
Pizza Hut, if you gave me 4 or 5,
four.
So Pizza Hut's 3, and currently Little Caesars is 2, and then I actually don't think Domino's pizza is terrible currently.
It's not bad.
Currently, it's had its problems before. And I also, to full disclosure, I really like Domino's pizza's, like Domino's variety of stuff that's on their menu. Like I've had their Alfredo pasta, and it's really good.
Have you had that, like, we're completely off topic now at this point in this video game podcast, but have you had that bread that's, like, feta cheese and garlic?
The garlic knots.
The garlic knot, and then they just have another thing that's, like, this little roll of bread.
I don't think I've had the roll, but I've had the garlic knots. I really like the garlic knots. Like, somebody somebody got me, like, a gift card for Domino's, like, for my birthday in May, like, that I work with, and I... Like, Angela's like, you do whatever you want. I'm not a fan of Domino's, so I just ordered like $25 worth of Domino's food just for me.
Oh, that sounds depressing. Like that's like when if I saw you with
you've
that much,
seen it though, man. Like if I'm hungry and I want to eat, like I can.
No,
eat.
I know, but like if I saw someone order $25 worth of Domino's pizza themselves,
no. Domino's stuff. Like full disclosure,
no, in general, if I saw someone being like
and a pasta bowl and some bread equals like $25.
Okay, no, but if I saw someone spend $25 on Domino's by themselves, I would be like, shit, let's sit down, let's talk about life. Are you doing okay, man? Is everything okay? How's work?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm going to have some pizza and some pasta and some bread. I'm good.
I feel like you need, like, mood music that's just, like, really fucking sad as you're just eating that. But it's better than Papa John's because, like, the best thing on Papa John's menu is the fucking breadsticks. That's like the only thing, and that's sad when you're just I guess what
I've had my embarrassing talk about life, you know, decisions with pizza before, where I've been driving home from like my sister-in-law's house after a birthday party, and she's like, here, take some of this pizza, get out of my house. And I had a full like Little Caesars pizza on the front seat next to me, and I think Angela was out of town, and by the time
Everybody Hurts,
by the time I got home, there was no pizza left in the box.
I told you about the one time that, like, I was by myself for a weekend, and I discovered that weekend that I can order pizza for myself. And I finished, like, a medium pizza by myself, and then I was just like, what have I become? Like, I was just like, what happened to me?
And you look over, and you're like, you just keep grabbing a piece, and then you look over, and you reach in there, and it's empty, and you're like, what the hell
And then you look
happened?
At the empty box, and it's all greasy, stained, and you're just like, oh my god, what did I do? Yeah. Pizza's interesting.
I blame Andy for this. This is all Andy's fault.
Yeah. He'll listen and be happy.
All right, so Stefan Wren asks another fun question. When is DDG going on a world tour? When more people subscribe to Patreon and the world's safe to travel better.
Yeah. Unless we put, like, a crazy tier where someone pays, like, I don't know how much it'll take to get us to fly out, but we do a $1,000 tier. It's like,
trust
Dave
me,
and Michael
trust
will
me,
just
Stefan,
record
I do not need
house.
To give my wife any more incentive to go to England. She wants to go to England bad. London, and she wants to go bad. And the fact that now that she knows that there's community members and stuff that live over there, that she can be like, well, you can go see so-and-so, and then we can do this. And, you know, like, she wants to go to England bad. So
Yeah, we would need, like, a sugar daddy of some kind to hit up Patreon and make that happen.
Go do Extra Life over there.
Yeah. We'll totally be able to figure out how to stream from another country. Like, what equipment to take. But that would be cool. But definitely we need that review count to go up significantly so more eyes can see us. So rate us on iTunes and Spotify if you haven't already.
All right, that is our show for this week. Pretty much right on time. We thought it might be a little short, but pretty much a standard length episode. So you can follow us on Twitter at Digital Days Pod. You can follow Michael at The First MJC. You can follow myself at Good Dave Hunt. You'll see some random stuff, like this week. Destiny did a Thundercats reference, and I don't know why, other than there's going to be a Thundercats emote in Destiny. That's what you'll see some of my stuff on Twitter. I don't know if Michael did. You can go back and look. I'm sure he did a little bit of stuff from C2E2 on his socials.
No, surprisingly not. Oh, okay. I've kind of, like, not been on Twitter lately, okay. And it's kind of been great.
Yeah.
It's weird. When you take a break from social media, I'm just like, oh, I'm less angry about shit.
Yeah. I've been getting more messages from Michael on Discord, so I think he's kind of like hanging out with people in a niche of where he's in a bubble where he's protected.
Yeah, I have a company phone, so I leave my personal phone at home, and I had the problem of, like, fuck, how am I going to contact Dave? I don't know his number by heart. Me and Dave are Discord friends now. Yeah.
So speaking of Discord, you can join our server. The link is in the show notes. You can also join the Facebook group, start some of the conversations and participate in the conversations there. And then, like we mentioned a couple times during the show, we have a Patreon. So patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming, where you can do different tiers there and check out some stuff. So, with that, I think that's all we got. So I hope everyone has a great week. Keep moving forward.
Don't be a dick. See you.